Good day to you and yours. We had a great time together on Sunday. I really enjoyed hearing you talk about your favorite healing from the Bible. It was terrific to hear how God's Word has changed our lives by changing our perspectives. Because we have a Savior who can heal and who loves to meet the needs of people, it really changes how we look at our present circumstances. As I've said already, it would be terrible to find ourselves facing a pandemic with nowhere else to place our hope except in our government and medical science. As much as we appreciate their efforts, they just cannot do enough. Only God can deliver us, and we find great, great peace when we trust in Him. Because our faith is in God, however, that does not mean that we do not appreciate the efforts of our government and medical science. As a matter of fact, we should be praying for both as they seek to do all they can to protect people from getting this virus and to help those who do get it to recover. So let's begin today with a prayer for both our government and the medical professionals who are working to keep us from getting sick. Lord, we first pray for our government. We have heard the many opinions coming from all over this nation about what should be done in the days ahead. We pray that you would give wisdom to our leaders, our president, our vice president, our congressmen, our governors, and our mayors. Help them to make decisions, not based on politics, but based on what will save and protect lives. And Lord, we also want to pray for the doctors, the scientists, the nurses, the researchers, the technicians, the pharmaceutical companies, everyone who is involved in fighting this virus and caring for those who have it. Give them great wisdom. Help them to see answers and to find solutions as carefully and as quickly as possible. And Lord, we pray for those who are day in and day out dealing with this virus. Many have worked long hours, and some have gotten the virus themselves. Help them to find the rest they need and overcome the depression that has overwhelmed so many. Deliver them, we pray, and deliver us as a nation. Amen. Now, we've been looking at John chapter 9, which speaks to us about sickness and the power of Jesus to heal. And so far, we have seen 8 things that this passage teaches us about sickness and healing. In this last message, we come to number 9. Sickness can be overcome by divine healing, but healing does not happen without some action on our part. Sickness can be healed, but healing is not automatic. It requires that we do something. And this verse makes 4 key points. So far, we have looked at the first 2. First, Jesus told this man to go. And then second, Jesus told this man to wash. Third, Jesus did not ask this man to express his faith. Now, that's very significant because there are times when Jesus does ask a person to do just that. There were times when he asked and expected a person to believe or to express faith. First, there is the example of Jairus. Several people mentioned Jairus this past Sunday. But Jairus was a synagogue leader, and he asked Jesus to come to his home and heal his daughter. His daughter was very sick, she was young, and she was dying. So Jairus asked Jesus to come to his home and touch her, heal her. As Jesus and Jairus were on their way to his house, he got word that his daughter had just died. The servants, who had witnessed the death of this little girl, said to Jairus, "There's no reason to trouble the master any longer. There's nothing that can be done now." In other words, it's over. It's over. Do you remember what Jesus said to Jairus at that moment? Mark 8:36, Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Second, there's the example of the 2 blind men in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew says that immediately after Jesus healed the daughter of Jairus, two blind men called out to him. They said, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Verse 28 says, "When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' 'Yes, Lord,' they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, 'According to your faith, will it be done to you.' And their sight was restored." And then third, we have the instructions found in James chapter 5, which tell the church how to carry out the ministry of healing. James says, if anyone is sick, that person should call for the elders of the church to pray over him or her and to anoint that person with oil in the name of the Lord. Then in verse 15, James says this, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up." But Jesus did not ask for an expression or confession of faith on this occasion. And Jesus did not ask the man anything before he healed him. He just slapped mud in his eyes and told him to go and wash. But the man's willingness to obey Jesus and to go to Siloam and wash, that was for Jesus a powerful expression of faith, even though it was without any words. Hiram W. Smith, who's author of The 10 Natural Laws of Successful Time and Life Management, also chairman and CEO of Franklin Covey Company, he said this, "Your behavior is a reflection of what you truly believe." Sometimes we don't have the words to convey what it is we actually believe. That does not really matter, however, because we always have actions which we often carry out without even thinking about it. And these actions will make clear what it is we truly believe. Now, I have no idea if this man had any conception of what he did believe at this point in time. He had not even met Jesus yet. That happens later. But he must have believed something, and his willingness to believe, even though he wasn't yet sure what he believed, put him on the road to healing and eventually to a relationship with the Savior. The blind man did not know why he was going to the pool of Siloam, except that someone told him to do that. He did not have any answers, but still he went. That reminds me of the words of missionary and author Elizabeth Elliot. She said, true faith comes into operation when there are no answers. Steve Lawrence, a believer in Kansas, summarizes what we've been talking about with a story about his daughter. He says, "My daughter, suffering from anorexia and bulimia, was undergoing treatment at Baptist Medical Center in Kansas City. On one particularly difficult day, she was told to drink a glass of milk, but just could not make herself do it. Her doctor was called in. He sat down beside her on the bed and he said, 'You're a Christian woman, correct?' She answered, 'Yes.' So he said, 'Do you remember the man Jesus healed near the pool of Siloam? Jesus put mud on his eyes to bring about his healing. But what really healed him?' She thought for a moment and then answered, 'His faith.' 'Good,' the doctor said. 'Now drink your mud.'" Sometimes Jesus asked for a declaration of faith before he healed people. At other times, he let their actions speak for their faith. Actions not only speak louder than words, actions often speak louder than any declaration of faith ever could. First, Jesus told the man to go. Second, he told the man to wash. Third, he did not ask the man to confess his faith. And last, fourth and finally, something happened to this man. Jesus told the man to go and wash. Listen now to the second half of the verse. So the man went. He obeyed the first command and washed. He obeyed the second command, and he came home seeing. The result of his obedience was that he could see for the first time in his life. The man born blind came home seeing because he went when Jesus said go, and he washed when Jesus said wash. He obeyed those simple commands, and he got new eyes. What Jesus asked this man to do was not easy for him. It was not easy for a blind person to find his way to a pool of water, which may have been a few miles from where he sat and begged. What Jesus asked the blind man to do was not easy, but neither was it impossible. It was something the blind man could do, and he did it. He went, and he washed, and he came home able to see. To obey the instructions of Jesus always brings blessing, because even if we don't get physically healed, there is blessing in obedience. There is joy in obedience. Isn't that what the old hymn says? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This man received one of the most extraordinary healings in all the ministry of Jesus. Now, of course, all the healings of Jesus were extraordinary. But there were only a few times when Jesus healed someone of a congenital illness. The word congenital means present from birth. There were people in Jesus' day who claimed to be able to heal illness. What's interesting is that these people shied away from even attempting to heal a person with a congenital illness. People thought that someone who was sick from birth must have been made that way by God, and God would never allow that person to be healed, so they didn't even attempt to pray for the healing of people like that. But Jesus knew God a lot better than these people did. He knew, as he says here in verse 3 of chapter 9, that this man was blind, quote, so that the work of God might be displayed in his life, unquote. And Jesus healed the man. He gave him new eyes, eyes that had never worked before. It was a miracle of the highest order. Does God still heal today? Oh, yes. There are accounts of people being healed today that are published regularly. For example, Craig Larson, who is himself a pastor and an editor at Christianity Today, tells about a man he knew personally. This is his account. One of the most remarkable and well-attested physical healings of someone I know personally happened to a fellow pastor named Kenneth Wallace. Wallace pastored the Mason City, Illinois Assemblies of God Church for 40 years. When I first became a pastor in 1975, he was the presbyter of the area in central Illinois that included our church, and he oversaw the interviews for my ordination. At that time, he must have been in his mid to late 50s, and he struck me as a happy warrior, big voice, thick build, square-jawed, always with a toothy smile. In November of 1987, however, he began to suffer discomfort in the area of his prostate. Weeks later, the pain was so bad that he finally went to the doctor to get a prescription for what he assumed was an infection. Instead, the doctor told him, "You have a large tumor on the prostate gland, which is possibly malignant." The doctor then ordered a barrage of tests, biopsy, blood work, x-rays, and an MRI. The doctors determined that on a scale of 1 to 4, with 1 being the worst, he was at stage 4. And the tumor was so large, he had probably had it for more than 10 years. The case was referred to a specialist in Springfield, Illinois, who consulted with doctors at Johns Hopkins University. Together, they decided that chemotherapy would be useless, surgery too dangerous, and radiation would cause too many other problems. The cancer was terminal, and they could only give him medication for pain. In a short time, his weight dropped from 217 pounds to 138. In April of 1988, he determined to attend one last statewide meeting of pastors. And in that meeting, his fellow pastors gathered around him and cried out to heaven on his behalf. He went home later that night, encouraged by their concern, but still suffering unbearable pain. About 2 months later, his brother, also a pastor, came to his home to see how he was doing. Worn down by the pain, Kenneth told him and his wife to, quote, "ask God to either heal me or take me," unquote. They prayed, and after a while they left. Kenneth was lying on the couch. Suddenly he became aware of a physical sensation, what he described as a soothing, warm feeling going throughout my body, every bit of pain and discomfort left. He tried to sit up, but was still very weak. He called out to his wife, "Ann, Jesus just healed me." That night before going to bed, he did not take his usual pain medication or sleeping pill, yet for the first time in over 6 months, he fell asleep immediately and slept all night. His next doctor's appointment was 1 week away, and when the doctor saw him, he was shocked and ordered tests to be done. The tests were once again sent to Johns Hopkins University. 1 week later, the results came back completely negative. Kenneth Wallace was indeed completely healed. He lived 12 more years and continued to preach until his death in April of 2000. So we're back to that very same place at which we began this message. We hear a wonderful account of a man being healed. John also has just given us a wonderful account of an extraordinary healing. And what do we do with this? Do we say, "Oh, I'm sure that divine healing would work for others, but it would never work for me. I'm just not sure I have enough faith." But remember, divine healing is not faith in faith. Divine healing is faith in God. And how much faith did the man born blind have? He didn't even know who it was who healed him until after it had happened. What a great illustration of the truth that it is not faith that heals. It is God who heals. So let's not talk about your faith. Instead, let's talk about your God. Can he heal you? Yes, obviously he can. Will he heal you? I believe the answer to that question is yes, if that is what you really need. Because he wants to meet our real needs. We can trust him for everything we need, even health. Will you trust him today? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we feel like the father in Mark chapter 9, who had a son who has been controlled by the power of evil. And the father said to Jesus, "Lord, if you can do something, please help us." And Jesus said, "If you can, all things are possible for him who believes." And then the man made a confession that we can relate to so well. He said, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And for many of us, that's exactly where we are today. We do believe. We really do. But we also have unbelief. We also doubt. And when our faith and our doubt are battling it out inside us, it makes our stomach churn and our knuckles turn white. Lord, help us overcome our unbelief and doubt. We may never get rid of all our doubts until we see you face to face, but we're asking you to help us do what the man born blind did. Help us just to get up and do something that will show us and our family and friends and even the enemy that we do believe. Help us to act on our faith, not on our doubt. Amen.